Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Young. I'm joined by Gao Junya and Josh Cottero. Coming up, we talk more about AI and can AI training tame AI anxiety? And we share with you what's brought us sheer delight this week. Join us for a dose of positivity, laughter, and all things that make our hearts sing in Roundtable's Happy Place. And from Quidditch to Wuxia novel appreciation, join us on a journey through the wacky world of college clubs. Discover how these extracurricular adventures shape our future in our upcoming discussion. Life happens, we get it, miss the juicy bits on air, no worries. Dive into the Roundtable China podcast for the discussion and insights. Find us on your favorite podcast platform and let the fun catch up with you. And Roundtable is your space for meaningful conversations, and we want to know what's buzzing in your thoughts. Drop us an email or voice memo at ezfmroundtable@foxmail.com. Let's turn your thoughts into on-air magic. Now, on Roundtable, let's continue our discussion. You know, in the fast-paced world of AI development, how can we hold on to and anchor and navigate through what feels like turbulent seas of future work with a sense of calm and stability? Do you think that is even possible?
Well, the disruptive changes that AI brings to different industries are bound to eliminate some jobs, but they will also give rise to new positions, which is already evident in the job market. From the perspective of the job market, AI positions are mainly concentrated in industries such as media, short videos, gaming, animation, as well as e-commerce. However, not all positions require AI, so there is no need for everyone to blindly follow the trend and impulsively learn. AI producer manager Shi Yunshen explicitly stated that the technical barriers for AI are high and earnestly studying is the preferred approach. Trying to reap the benefits of AI through quick fixes is definitely unrealistic. I think we should also better utilize AI as a tool, and it's not possible to achieve zero threshold monetization or even get rich quick through artificial intelligence.
Well, I think that it's very easy to feel overwhelmed because it's quite overwhelming, and it's probably, don't put that down as one of my best quotes, but I think that, you know, staying informed is really important here because there's just so much information, and it almost seems like society as a whole has this information overload. And even AI generative text platforms, they are literally giving us unlimited information, right? It's literally the definition of being overwhelmed is having an information overload of sorts, and that's what it's giving you, right? It's endless information. So we have to learn to have a healthy relationship with this thing, because let's say, for argument's sake, AI can and will be able to do all of these jobs and all of these things that we're worried that it's going to be able to do. That still doesn't mean that it's going to make us happy and calm, much like work doesn't usually make us happy and calm, right? Much like we need to detach all those things that we're talking about AI being able to do. If you think about it, are those the things that you live for a lot of the time? For some people, it is, right? For some people, it is that scary, right? If you take, again, the example of music, if AI is going to replace musicians, that terrifies me because that is what I live for, right? Even I do it for free without being paid. So I think that it's important to think about what it can't do. What it can't do, to take the example of music, is play music with my friends, right? Only I can do that, right? Only I can play music and enjoy it, you know? AI can't enjoy that for me. So I think that you have to sort of identify, you know, some positive things from that. But still, very overwhelming. I think educating yourself is very important as well. I feel quite lucky being on Roundtable that I get to do this, which I think a lot of people maybe get to do less, which is to engage in dialogue regularly with people about it. I know because we've spoken about AI a lot, because everything in the news is dominated by this topic in the last few years. And I feel much calmer about it after being able to talk about it on Roundtable, being lucky enough to talk about it and even having my thoughts broadcast on the radio. So I think that all of us could do well to try and, you know, maybe find those safe spaces to actually have a dialogue about it and express yourself.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting. Because I think one thing I would definitely echo with you, that is the more I learn about it, the more I read about it and try out these different AI tools, the better I feel about myself, because now this is not some scary unknown. But the expression bit I really appreciate and is a new point, which I just got from you, Josh. And I think, yes, having, maybe this is a little bit like an outlet for all of us who are regularly on this show to share our opinion and also get feedback from our listeners. And there's one listener comment on our Apple Podcast common area, which really struck me. That is from an American listener. Sorry, I can't remember your name just off the top of my head. But, oh yeah, your name is Caroline, and then a string of numbers. You said that it's really a fun show that you listen to Roundtable and realize that young people in China, as well as where you're from in the US, are both feeling the impact and some of this anxiety from the big changes that AI is going to bring to the workplace and workforce. In this way, you feel connected with us. And I think that's really special. And AI can't replace that. The connection between people. Okay. Noted. One more thing that AI can't do right now. And also, I would add on to what you guys said that I suppose continuous learning or lifelong learning is something that we just all have to accept nowadays and invest in developing skills that complement AI technology. Ensuring that you remain valuable in the evolving job market is something we can work on. And there's an interesting quote I like to share with you. Oh, yes. The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. So I guess we're now doing our relearning. And that's part of how to stay competitive in today's workplace. And also one more thing I'd like to highlight with you that possibly could act as an anchor in this turbulent sea of technological development that we feel is like shaking our world, that is adaptability. So cultivate a mindset of flexibility and resilience, all of us, to navigate changes in the workplace brought by AI innovations. And who knows what's the next thing. And survival in the modern world belongs not to the strongest or the smartest, but I believe to the most adaptable. Coming up next, welcome to the happiest corner of the airwaves, Roundtable's happy place.
Delivery, delivery, delivery.
What is it?
Happiness from Roundtable.
Junya, what is your happy place this week?
I went to Shanghai the weekend before, and I went to the concert of Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, Zhang Xueyou.
Oh, yay!
Yes.
Right.
And I think it is his 60-plus concert tour, one of his tour performances in Shanghai. And I was quite lucky to attend that event because just the week before, you know, the performance to us, he called the COVID-19 pandemic and he canceled the whole tour. So my heart was hanging all the time, waiting for the last minute call to tell us that, you know, the concert will go as usual. And it did. It happened. And I gathered with my friends in Shanghai, in Hangzhou, and attended his performance. I think it should not be called a 60-plus concert tour. It should be called 40-plus, because Jackie Chan, he's really young. You know, he's younger than his age. So I think that's one of the inspirations from his concert, is that we have to keep fit, you know, have a good body shape, and that makes you quite young. And also, I think he's been quite nice to provide the music fans with a fabulous performance, because he's providing orchestra music and also ballet dancers if they are there. So I think it's worth it, totally worth my trip to Shanghai, worth the ticket. and everything. So I enjoyed it. And I hope, I know you're going to, you're
going to stop smiling.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it here in Beijing. So Heyang, yeah, it's going to happen and you're going to be happy, happy, happy. That's your happy place.
Oh, thank you. And yes, you beat me to it, Junya. I've got tickets for the upcoming weekend when Zhang Xueyou comes to Beijing and performs in the Wukesong Sports Stadium. And yes, very much looking forward to it. And yes, Josh, this is one thing that AI cannot replace humans or artists. It's the live music event, you know? And then also being able to build that memory with, you know, generations of fans. And I haven't seen AI do it now. I don't know if in the future there's going to be an AI superstar of some kind of art field that can establish this kind of connection with the general public. I'm not sure about that. We'll see what happens. But yeah, like being able to be in that physical space with a whole bunch of other like-minded people and you're here for the same purpose. And gosh, when I get there, I'm ready. Like I've got the Kleenex in my back pocket and I'm ready to sing along and cry and detox, you know, because yeah, that's just years of your memory that you have with these songs. And don't we long for a sense of belonging and also just not being alone, you know, especially after what happened in the last few years. And it just, live music events just seem even more special. And this we have talked about in previous shows. And Josh, what is your happy place?
I would also like to talk about a live music show that I saw recently in Beijing, which was incredibly special and really brought me happiness. And that was a show at a very famous jazz club in Beijing, also in China. There's one in Shanghai called Blue Note. And now that COVID is sort of in the past, a lot of foreign artists are now coming back over to China and are doing performances, and a lot of really incredible musicians. And I saw a musician called PJ Morton there, who is, I guess you probably know the band Maroon 5, or you've heard of them. Well, he plays keyboards in that band, but he is also a prolific solo artist, and he plays keys and the organ. And I saw his show in Beijing, and it was just one of the most wonderful experiences, because his crowd interaction is so awesome. He really engages the audience and sort of gets everybody to sing. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't know that many of his songs, but he still got everybody singing them, right? He was kind of like conducting the audience, and the vibe in the room was just so good. He's sort of, his style is sort of R&B jazz, but it felt like a massive, he made the whole room, maybe there was only, I don't know, maybe 300 people in there, in the room, 300-400 people, but he made it feel like a stadium pop concert, you know? And it just made me so happy to see that the music scene is coming back to life. It's quite a musical show today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And also, I'm so happy to see international exchange. It's so important to connect people from different continents, different countries of different language and cultural backgrounds, and to unite us and to make us realize that we share so many things in common. And I think that's like a bedrock to making many wonderful things happen in the future. And we need to keep that channel open. Wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing. And today is indeed a very musical show, because what I'm going to share with you is, here it goes, how you tell your story is sometimes even more important than the story itself. And here's one of my favorite hip-hop artists. Dessa is once again the storyteller, pointing out injustice, sly ironic humor, and finding joy even in the decay of everyday life. Dessa, the poet, rapper, public radio host, academic, and songwriter, is showcasing her multi-dash title to its fullest on her first full-length album in 5 years. Bury the Lead is the title name, and it's juxtaposition heavy, harsh rapping next to pretty vocals, dance beats blaring while the world burns down around her. And this time her music is a bit poppier and has a more emotionally vulnerable sound that she's recently cultivated. Bury the Lead is a great example of what happens when a capital P perfectionist lets her hair down just a little. And Hurricane Party and I Already Like You are the two songs that I really love from this album. And Dessa is just a brilliant mind, somebody who does wonderful work traversing genres in unexpected ways. Love her rapping, and every song is threatening to go into six different directions at once, but in the best possible way. And the reason or how I discovered Dessa was actually in January 2021 as Janet Yellen, the first female, stepped into the role of the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. Dessa surprised us with a single, Who's Yellen Now? And the way she writes her lyrics and the way she raps is just so special, so smart, and totally dynamite. And that is my happy place. Coming up next, from anime enthusiasts to avocado aficionados, does joining college societies and student clubs have an impact on your path to adulthood? We'll be back after this break.
Looking for passion? How about fiery debate? Want to hear about current events in China from different perspectives? Then tune in to Roundtable, where East meets West and understanding is the goal.
It's the hour of Roundtable with myself, He Young. I'm joined by Gao Junya in the studio and Josh Cotterell on the line. When it comes to the university student experience, an essential part of fitting in is having a sense of belonging. Student clubs and associations can help students create connections, build relationships, and expand their skills outside the classroom. Not only are student societies great for improving the university experience, the skills and connections gained from participation in one can help launch a student well past graduation. From stargazing to spirited games of frisbee and adventurous treks into the mountains, these student societies have risen to prominence over others in China. What are the most popular student clubs in Chinese universities and colleges these days?
The Beijing University Student Society's Development Guidance Center released the 2023 Most Beloved Student Societies in the capital city, 36 in total. Here are a few student societies that made the list. Mountaineering Association of Peking University. The Mountaineering Association of Peking University was established in 1989. It's the first student association in mountaineering in China. The society has organized various activities including mountaineering, scientific expeditions, rock climbing, and wilderness exploration. And their expeditions span provinces of Qinghai, Sichuan, Gansu, and Yunnan, as well as Xizang Autonomous Region and Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, reaching the peaks of many famous mountains. And in May 2018, 12 members of the Mount Chumulama climbing team of Peking University, with 7 of them from the Mountaineering Association, successfully reached the summit of the world's highest peak.
Wow, that's quite an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what are some of the other really popular student societies that made to the list, Josh? Tell us more.
Well, there is the Ice Hockey Association at Renmin University of China, and this association was founded in 2016, which aims to provide a platform for students who love ice and snow sports to get to know each other, play, and also learn about the sport, ice hockey, skiing, curling, and other snow sports as well. And actually, in 2019, Renmin University formed its own ice hockey team that attended the first National University Ice Hockey Championship. Another famous club is the Star Rovers Society at Beihang University. So the Star Rovers were established in 1997, and it is a student society organized by astronomical enthusiasts at Beihang University. So they're focused on astronomy, and under the guidance of the School of Astronautics, the club has actively carried out various activities such as observations outside Labag Woman and the Miyun Observatory. Also, we have the Frisbee Club at Beijing Sport University. Not that surprising that there's probably quite a few Frisbee clubs and societies these days. This was established in 2013 that aimed to showcase the charm of Frisbee and also improve students' Frisbee skills and social ability. Actually, Frisbee's become very, very popular. And at this particular club, it's managed to maintain a membership of around 300 people, becoming one of the most popular clubs at Beijing Sport University, which is quite unbelievable, really, if you think about it as it's a sport university. Frisbee has really come on leaps and bounds, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed. I am a little surprised. I thought it would be other sports, but, you know, it must be very exciting to have so many different kinds of student associations, clubs, societies to choose from. And Junya, do you remember or have you seen some of the really interesting or fun or popular student societies and associations in your lifetime? Your experience?
No, going through this list, I'm so jealous. You know, those young college students, they have so many
choices.
We're young too. Oh, back to my, you know, college days. Over 10 years ago, 10 years ago, yes. We do have some student societies and I was part of some, but not so many choices, I think. I remember I was in an interpretation club thing.
Oh.
And they did provide us with some interpretation and escort translation opportunities. So we would accompany someone from outside and or some even some real estate companies, you know, to... I don't know.
Okay.
It was crazy. Yeah. And, you know, for them to get into the Chinese market. You know, that's what I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoor activities. Yes, I think I was not a member of this certain society, but they did organize an outdoor activity to Pingyao Ancient City, mm-hmm. Pingyao Gucheng in Shanxi province. And I joined for that trip. I enjoyed it. I think it's just one night stay, just 2 day trip, you know, basically all the time on the way. But it's good to, you know, get out of your daily routine from the school campus and, you know, go out for a visit to a different place.
Mm.
So it was nice. That's, you know, what I can remember.
Yeah. And speaking of student societies that venture beyond the campus, there's one popular example, which is called Practice in the West of Minzu University. And this is a student society that does volunteer service in Western China. Mm. And the student society was established in 2004 and offering students opportunities to engage in volunteer and teaching activities during vacation time. And also there's another one, 45 Traveler. This is a club turned travel company based in Shanghai that offers all-inclusive vacation choices exclusively for young travelers under the age of 45. And its predecessor was a student society at Shanghai University of Finance and Economics named Scarecrow Outdoor Sports Association. So, very interesting. The student club has actually evolved into a business venture. And apparently the founder, male and female, they are alumni and they met in this student club and now they're a couple and running the business together. So that's kind of sweet. Josh, do you have some memories that you can share with us regarding student societies and clubs?
Yeah, sure. I think the club that I was a most active member of was my boxing club. And I hadn't really participated in combat sports before I started university. And actually, this club was probably one of the most formative things about my university experience. I was really surprised to find that the community around this sport was so healthy, not just physically, but also mentally, you know, very disciplined, not the kind of sporting society where people would go out to the pub afterwards. In fact, quite the opposite, you know, most people there that were taking it seriously didn't drink or anything like this. They were very focused on their health. They were very focused on their studies. And it was the first time that I'd really sort of encountered that experience. And also the self-confidence that it gave me really changed my life as well. And obviously I got really fit and healthy from it as well. I learned about nutrition. I learned about my body, you know, and about breathing and about pushing myself to limits that I didn't know was possible. And unless I'd have gone to university, I don't think I would have had the confidence to just walk into a boxing gym. But because it was at the university, I felt like it was more approachable. And that was sort of a doorway for me to go into that world. And I'm really, really appreciative of it.
All right. And also, Josh, have you seen some of the wackier or more surprising student societies from your experience and research?
Yeah, certainly. You know, the ultimate goal of a lot of societies is to provide a social space, a safe and welcoming social space for like-minded people. You know, traditionally for a lot of people, that might be a specific sport, but there are some societies that are just based on things that might attract people with a similar sense of humor. For example, there is one society that I know of, which is called, and I might have got the name slightly wrong, but I know what the premise of it is, and it's like the Bad Film Society. So the idea is that they meet up and they watch the lowest rated films in the world. And I mean, some of these films are truly atrocious. I think one of them told me there's a movie called like Trolls, which is like an animation film, and they will watch like Trolls 2. Somebody, it wasn't even a friend really, but someone told me about this club and they said, oh, that's what we watched. And I was like, that's a bit weird. Why would you watch that? And they said, because it's a terrible film and we find that hilarious. So, but I'm sure together they got on really well, and maybe they met some of their best friends at that society, right?
Yeah, maybe future business partner and life partner, you know. I had that example cited just now. Yeah.
I think Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, they've met their partners, right? At certain campus clubs. I'm not sure from the movie. Mm. Yeah.
Bill Gates.
Yes, they started there.
Well, that didn't end well.
So yeah, good things happen.
All right. And how do student societies play a role in enhancing the students' overall university experience, and also maybe possible downsides that we could mention as well? So we have very little time, but guys, what you think?
They can help build community, and also like what Josh mentioned, personal development. You know what he's been doing in his club made him, you know, have self-confidence, and also exploration of different interests, and also networking opportunities, and contribute to the health and well-being. I think the difference about a student club is that, you know, they have this tolerance towards different mistakes and faults. So by joining a different society club, you know, people can improve their ability, even if they sometimes made mistakes or some horrible mistakes. It's just, you know, in a society club, it's not like you're already in your back to your workplace, right? Mm-hmm. So I think student societies can be quite good incubators for, you know, those for students to develop their own personality and maybe their future career.
Wonderful. And also, if this is taking up too much of your time, that it's compromising your time to study or do other things that you deem important in life, then maybe scale back a little bit. Not everybody have to get fully involved. And that brings us to the end of today's roundtable. Thank you so much, Josh Cotterell and Junya, for joining the discussion. I'm He Young. We'll see you next time.